Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. It's a nice fall day today, huh? Good. All right. Well, do a little bit of a recap from what we did last week. We've been all over the map this month as far as what we've been touching on. Somebody brought up, why do I do a recap? Because I'm the only one sitting here. I know who was here and who wasn't here last week. And you know, sometimes I'll do a recap and I'll say something and I'll see somebody go, and I'm like, oh yeah. You needed to hear that, and I know you did, and you weren't here. No, but I just think it gives another opportunity. And also, what happened in the last 7 days when you first heard it? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes you can go, wow, God really, yeah. So I think it's important. It's you always know where you've been and where you're going. So that's why. Because it's true. All the people I listen to don't do recaps, but I think it's helpful. Plus, you know what? We have to miss church sometimes. I'm not coming at anybody. And if you can get a little bit of that, you can go, oh, maybe I want to go back and listen to that or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I do that. So last week we talked about relationships, all sorts of different things. And I pretty much said if there's resentment, I laid out the fact that resentment and forgiveness are not the same thing. You can forgive somebody but still have resentment. The definition of resentment was essentially negative feelings about something that had happened that you deem unfair. So you can forgive somebody and say, yeah, we're good, I let them out of prison, but you can hang on to resentment. But I was treated unfairly, or that was unfair. Okay, I don't have time to go through it all today, but resentment will block peace in relationships. And I think it's an awesome thing to talk about in church because it's one of those little blind sides that the devil uses to contaminate our relationships. We all know we have to forgive, right? You hear that message all the time. But resentment can sit there and creep and go undetected in our lives. To sit there and say that. So that was good. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it. I really think that was good. We then talked about how when we get in these, you know, scrapes, knockabouts, whatever, whether it be with strangers at a gas station or your spouse, we're supposed to be in the habit of going to God immediately and asking for healing. That's what we're supposed to do. You might not feel like that wasn't that bad. I'm tough. I can manage it. But you might not notice you're still bleeding. You're still bleeding. I told stories about my wife and I. We disagree fairly well, fairly civilly, but that doesn't mean we don't get cut when we argue. And for a long time, I was like, oh, that was no big deal. I grew up where we were throwing stuff at each other. That's a fight. but both of them, both types of resulted in bleeding. And I started to develop the habit of if she and I kind of butt heads or something, I say, Father, can you just heal us up and fill us with your love, you know, for one another? You see what I'm trying to say? Because seriously, a bunch of little cuts, you still bleed. And so I thought that was real good wisdom somebody else had given me. And the last part I talked about was step up. And you know, if you know what you got to do, go find the skills to do it. You know what I mean? So I won't get into that. And that's like half a page I have here. Let's do the first slide. Let's do it. This is 2 Timothy. Paul was an older pastor. He was establishing churches, okay? And he took under his wing a young guy, and his name was Timothy. And so Paul sent letters to and fro Timothy, his protege, teaching him very straight down the line stuff about being a leader in church, but also being a man and being a Christian, stuff like this. You can imagine Timothy's fairly near and dear to my heart, being a fairly young pastor. I get a lot of wisdom from this. What we're about to read is pretty pertinent today. But mark this, he says. In other words, take note. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be, now stop. I don't think, okay, you can't be a date setter because Jesus says no man knows the hour that Jesus is going to end it all. But we all know that the world was created and there comes a time when God's going to put it all back the way it's supposed to be. Amen? That's a big deal. You got to know that. But he's shutting it down at some point. And lots of people get obsessed with that. And I see why. Because if you dig into the book of Revelation, or some of the images from Isaiah or Ezekiel, what happens is this, and beware in life. If you stare too closely at something, you lose the peripheral. And people become obsessed and even a little crazy about that. The end times, the end times, the end times. My thought is this, and I don't want to give away my whole message, but I'm here today. I understand that's coming. I know what's behind me, but I'm here today. So we're going to read something about the last times. I'm not sitting here telling you Jesus is going to come back on Wednesday or 3 years from now on the 7th of Shabbat. I'm not doing that. But I want to tell you I do agree that, Stephanie, be good. Did you pick up on the Wednesday thing?
Oh, okay. I was a little surprised. Nobody.
Surprised I got no reaction, but she did get it. Okay. But mark this, tell times in the last days. We have to walk in wisdom as well. Now, let's just read this. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Wish more kids were here, right? That's on that same list. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. They'll be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Have nothing to do with these people. There was a lot in that. And if you misunderstand that, there can be a lot of damage done. So let's walk through this together. And I do have a point, a big point today. I believe this is where we are. My first thought that I want to share with you is this. Deal with it, okay? I went to see Conrad Cook to ask him about hunting. He wasn't there, but his wife was. I walk in and Andy Griffith starts playing. I'm not a good whistler. And there's little Ronnie Howard with his cane pole, right? Come on, anybody?
Yes.
Now, when I see that, here's what I think. And I'm only 36 years old, but oh, those were the days. And they were. They were the days, man. But you can do two things. You can always be looking backward and going, well, it ain't like it used to be. The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, right? Or we can say this, I get it, but I'm here. I'm here now. And so I look at this list and I think my children are 4-ish and 1.5. I can't sit there and go, what kind of world are we giving them? And my God, it was so much better when I was, remember when the streetlight went out and hide and seek and everybody's on their iPhones now and all that. Look, that's the life they have. That's it. Okay? It's no different than in counseling. I was born into the family I was born into. I didn't choose it. I wish my mom had raised me. I didn't get a chance to know her. That's my story. I don't live in that place of regret, resentment, whatever. It's good to reminisce. That's what I'm saying. Turn on Andy Griffith. It's a great show. Okay? Open your photo albums and remember the good old days. But live now. I feel as though this list does describe our world more than ever before. And don't forget, I know that Rome existed in Babylon and Egypt. We're not the great evil, guys. Don't do that. Look around. Sodom existed. Okay, Haiti is a real place. All I'm trying to say is this. We're here now. I acknowledge that this describes much of our world. And instead of trying to run from that thought, I'm going to accept it. And that's the first big lesson we can pull from this piece of scripture. Okay? Also, sometimes we do the us and them thing. When I read lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, I felt like that also described me sometimes. Always got to be entertained. That convicted me a little bit. Always got to have something. I'm always looking for the next thing. So, you know, don't just go us and them. This can be us as well. Lovers of money. Am I a lover of money? Am I boastful? Am I proud? Always hold scripture up against your life, okay? Anyway, let me see where I'm going with this. But I want to tell you this. The bottom says this. Have nothing to do with them. So you know what some people have done? Retreat, and they build a little wall and a bubble. And they say, I don't want to go near those type of people. Only the people that attend my church are the people that claim to be, because I was told not to have anything to do with them. Let me teach you something. Paul is actually teaching about apostates. An apostate is a certain, okay, it's a word that describes a certain person. And he describes them here. Okay, the acts of the apostates is the book of Jude as well. Apostates are these people here. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. The first apostate we've ever met is Judas Iscariot. An apostate is someone who says, yeah, oh God, praise God, with his lips, and then does nothing else with it. And in fact, what he's saying here is, just like Judas Iscariot, an apostate will sit among you when their sole purpose is to destroy what God is trying to do. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying have nothing to do with them. He's not saying have nothing to do with your coworker who happens to still struggle with being unforgiving. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Thank you, Bruce. Because you know what? If you misinterpret this, people walk away with the wrong idea. The separatists thing. Remember I told you they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in a cave? There was a community called the Sons of Light that wanted nothing to do with the rest of the world. So they watched the world and had nothing to do with it. We can't be those people. And guys, if you think I'm not aware that we're having a huge election on Tuesday, when I wrote this, you're crazy pants. Okay? When we read this, we realize life is going to get hard. Life is going to be hard in the world. Things move toward decay. It's called entropy in science. We've talked about this. And here's a nice list of what you're going to be walking around. But we don't get to just retreat. We don't. The ones that you see are trying to stop what God is doing, yeah, I have nothing to do with them. Actually, there's another scripture that'll give you more. Next verse. They're the kind, these people you're not supposed to have anything to do with. They'll worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Never able to acknowledge the truth. They'll turn people away from Jesus. They themselves will not become Christ followers. That's what we're talking about. Okay? He wants to warn about apostates. I'm sorry, I'm still struggling with this thing. She is too. Sorry. And it's so gross to hear that on the podcast too. I know it is, but I gotta keep talking. Anyone ever turn on the TV? Anyone ever turn the TV on? I'm not coming at anybody in particular, I promise, because I can't come up with anybody in my head, but anyone who ever turned on the TV and watched somebody who's really successful in the church world, and you're looking at them going, something tells me they don't believe what they're talking about. Or you know what I'm trying to say? Or like, that's a really good business person up there on that certain television channel. Salesperson, right? And they got the nicest this and nicest that, and then you start to hear stories about this, and then it all comes crashing down, and it makes Jesus himself look bad. That's what I think he's talking about. He's talking about apostates. If there's a war going on, and you can get one of your soldiers in the enemy's camp, it's mighty powerful, isn't it? We've been playing the spy game since what? Long before the Cold War, haven't we? Well, Paul just taught Timothy, don't be shocked when people sit among you and their sole purpose is to bring you and what God is doing down. That's what he's talking about. Have nothing to do with them. But it does not mean we retreat from this world. We don't talk to the people who don't agree with us. That's not what he's talking about. And some churches have taught people that. No, don't hang out with people who talk like that or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're in turbulent times, and that's my first point of the day. Because if we can get there and realize it, we'll move on to then what we can learn and what we can do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now that we know where we are, we can get busy doing work. So the second thing is, can we go back a slide, Bri? Thank you. We can't miss this. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And that should haunt you a little bit like it does me. One of the things on this list is understanding God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. This is saying it's offensive to God that we would have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And here's my opinion, just AJ's opinion. Sometimes we do this. We carry our burdens. We come against things. We plan. We plot. We walk around without understanding. And we never call on the power we have available to us. Do we understand that? And here's the thing, you got to walk this balance out, and especially me as a pastor, I have to walk this balance out, because if you knew me in my personal life, I'm a lot more running up and down the aisles Baptist person at home than stoic traditional church guy. Seriously, I speak out the word of God, I rebuke spirits, I don't let fever set on my kid. I'm a kook, I'm a nutbag, because I'm never going to deny the power of it. I say we're healthy in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I say it every day in my house. Because if there's power in the word of God, I'm not wielding it. You understand what I'm saying? And I speak life over things. Again, you're lucky I don't do it in public as crazy as I am at home. All right? I don't want to be the guy that's going to deny the power available to us. Because either all this stuff we've been talking about for 2 years and more is real, or it's not. That's what it comes down to. And this is no flippant thing, guys, to stand and cower or shake and shudder at our futures or obstacles in this current time. I'm going to challenge you today and say that it's offensive to God. That's what that taught. And you know I don't shoot out condemnation. We're going to get to a really nice spot in this. The times are tough. The world is dark. But we are the chosen ones, you guys. The adopted by the Almighty Ones. And we got to get there to move to the next thought. We are not the ones to tremble and fear no matter what happens or who happens to us, let's say Tuesday. We are not them. I wish this was sort of church that's into metal, because there's a metal breakdown I love where he just sings, we are the ones. We are the ones. We are the bought out. We are the called out, the chosen ones. We do not live and shudder and fear at CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever it is, and go, oh man, because you know what? No matter who's sitting in that office, we know who's on the throne. There's the difference. We are what, 10%? No, not even. We're 2% of this town. Well, guess what? Act like it. Act like it. We know these are dark times, but we're the chosen ones, you guys. Okay? We are the ones to be in a place of God's peace and rest. And I want to show you this right now. John, my favorite gospel, the mystic. Jesus is saying this. Peace I leave with you, AJ, Bruce, Marty, Brittany. I'll do everybody if you need me to. Peace I leave with you. It's actually my peace that I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let. You have power. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So that's what we're talking about. Paul tells us when he writes to Timothy, he's like, things are going to get dark. But Jesus goes, but you have something no one else has. My peace. And Jesus says it, guys. This is God in the flesh. He says this. I'm giving you something. So is it given? Yep. Right? Is it special? Yep. And then we have power. But I love this. I don't give it to you as the world gives. What does that mean? I think he means, hey, you give me this, I'll give you that. Or I think it means I'll give you this as long as you're good. Or as long as you act the way you should act while you have it, otherwise I'll take it away. That's what I think he's trying to say. Right? Like when he talks about grace. I give it to you. And it's mine. It's my peace. So, the question I have, we've already established that my kids are inheriting a world that's less preferable to when I was a kid, or some of y'all who were around during Mayberry times. But, do we have peace? Donna got it. He said it. No matter what, we have his peace, God's peace, Jesus' peace. And this is something special, right? We are not. Okay, right. This is important and timely. I want us to see we have God's peace. My peace I give you. Okay, we have it. I want us to understand that because when we are not in a place of God's peace and rest, we make decisions based on that mindset, and they're always going to be less than our best. And we got to get this. I know I didn't say it really well, but we stay in a place of God's peace and rest because that's the only place to clearly hear from him and be led. Do we understand that? So let me keep summarizing. We live in turmoil, chaos, megabytes, gigabytes of information. But Jesus says, you have something not everybody else has, my peace. Stay in it, abide in it, do not let your hearts be troubled, it's your best life. But not only that, it's the only place you're truly safe. From being swayed, from being scared, from being overwhelmed. Don't do it. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Stay in this place of peace. Do not fear appears in the American Standard Bible. Do not fear appears 57 times and do not be afraid appears 46 times. This is big, guys. Because I think what Jesus is teaching us through the whole counsel of God is there's fear or there's peace. And we have to choose is what he's saying. So we acknowledge the world around us. We don't get surprised at the 6 o'clock news. We teach our kids. Okay. Sorry. We were watching a certain cartoon. I think it was Transformers. And one of them was punching the other one. I felt a little bit guilty. This was a couple years ago, like two. I felt a little bit guilty. And Melanie's like, I don't want him to watch violent stuff. And I was like, you know, that sounds like real wisdom. But here's what I went with it. I've never told my son fighting is wrong. I said, Fighting is absolutely the right thing to do when you're protecting someone else or yourself. And now I don't tell him not to fight. I say, Daddy will teach you how to fight, and you will be responsible for it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the same with, I never say to him, be nice to Izzy, don't hit her. I always say this, you're her big brother, your job is to protect her. Right? This is the world we live in. And because I'm acknowledging that, oh yeah, Tucker, you're strong, buddy. I'm not going to pretend you're not strong. And the world around you is a dark place. So you're going to learn how to fight, but you're going to learn how to fight correctly for other people to stand up. If I ever find out my son, especially, Izzy will probably be the one to do the butt kicking if you know her, but seriously, if I find out my son ever watches another kid get bullied, he's going to get punished as though he bullied that kid. This is the world we live in. I don't say fighting's bad. I said, no, I'll teach you how to do it right. And I'll teach you how to wield it right. That's the world we live in, right? So I just wanted to say that. But fear or peace is what we're being talked about. There's anxiety and worry, or there's peace. If we look around and we aren't in a place of peace, we have to do what we can. We have to go to Him for peace. Now, this is where I get into flippant, you know, kind of triteville, and I want to say this. There's fear or there's peace. Anxiety and worry, or there's peace. But I want to say this. There are folks with medical things, a real struggle for people, and I'm not minimizing this. Understand this. We all carry our own unique weaknesses, our own unique struggles. So every time I give a message like this, I'm not just going to say, hey, if you're out of peace, that's out of bounds, run back to God. Some people, that is their struggle in life. Other folks, it's substances or anger. Some people staying or getting in a place of peace is their battle, okay? And I'm never going to minimize those people. That's a whole other thing. But for most people, this is an area that we just simply don't watch over. We simply don't watch over it, Brian. And then at 9 o'clock at night, we find out we've been anxious all day long. Or we've been going, oh yeah, if he gets elected or she gets elected in Walmart, you just didn't babysit the area. My peace I give you, stay in that place of peace. The world will spin madly on, I assure you, says Jesus. But choose my peace and do not let your heart be troubled. Because if you really understood things, I've got it all under control, says Jesus. And you guys sitting in this building are the only ones who know that really awesome secret. Am I right? You know it. We'll watch the polls and we'll realize, oh wait, but the king's heart, right? God, whatever it is in the palm of the one. I blew that one, sorry. I've only ever heard it from you guys. Right? We all know who wins the victory, who won the victory. We get it. So we have to babysit and monitor these places and don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid. When has being afraid ever helped you make a good decision? Right? Exactly. It's just not how we operate as human beings. The wrong chemicals are going over your brain. Your blood pressure's up. You're not going to make a good decision. You're not going to have a good day. We control this in Christ because He's given us something of His to hold. We follow me so far? And I know I'm pawing at it. Geez, AJ, we kind of get it. I know, but Tuesday's coming. But Tuesday's coming. And your coworkers' reactions on Wednesday are coming. And the media is going to go crazy no matter who wins. And they're all going to say, panic, fear. And how does Vladimir Putin feel about this election? And panic, fear. Guys, come on, it's coming. We know it is. So here's what God decided to do. I had a whole other message already written, which would have given me more time to hunt. But God decided to talk about this because I think what He's doing is He's reminding you to check your armor. Click, click, click. I'm pairing up with that study, right? Click, click, click. Because it's coming. Because it's coming. The world will yell at you to be afraid this week. And I'm just saying this. Let's look at what Jesus says about it, right? When we're operating outside of God's peace, it's like muddying up the signal we receive from Him as well, the clarity of His voice. The louder the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the panic, whatever it is, it starts to drown out God's voice in this gift from Jesus, His peace. And what I'm realizing is as we live life on purpose, this is a big thought, new thought to me. It appears that peace is a weapon or a tool that we're to wield. I never thought about it that way. I'm like, yeah, the Word of God and, you know, these other things are weapons. But I'm realizing peace is a weapon that we actually have to hold on to and fight for, right? Especially in times like this, says Timothy. And I'm getting this from John. Do not let. There's so many angles for us to look at from, but we're going to close it down in a second. For us, it takes us out of a place of power with what Jesus has given us. And the reason I want to say all that, and the reason this all is important, that we realize we're in a dark place, we realize that we're the called out ones and we have His peace, is because we have work to do. This isn't just for us. That's my final point of the day. Times are tough. We have peace. We got to wield peace. We got to use it. We got to make sure and babysit it because there's work to be done. God did not just pull us out and clean us up to sit down in luxury. He didn't do that. We have work to be done. There's lots of work to be done. We realize just how dark and, like I said, blah, blah, blah. We are to shine. That's our job. We're to stand out by contrast, just like Jesus stood out by contrast in His day. While everybody else was unsure and scared, and focused on the fact that Rome had enslaved the Jews, Jesus walked around with peace and with power. And that's what drew men to himself. Do we understand that? Everybody else, even his own disciples, were so fixated on the problems of the world, of the time. And Jesus knew something that nobody else seemed to know. The connection he had with the Father, the power that the Father had over the world, and that no matter what, nothing was going to happen to him that God was not personally going to be involved in. And that's what drew men to himself. We are to shine. Do I have Matthew, please? We all know this one, probably. You are, whether you understand it or not, God has made you a light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. People see it from all around. And you don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. It makes no sense. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before them, before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Number one, you're the light of the world. You're the light of your workplace. You're the light of your neighborhood, right? You're the light of your school or whatever it is. You are the one light. He did not just say you are a light. In a world gone crazy, with a list of apostate things like that, we are the only light of the world. Nobody else has the truth but Jesus Christ. The only people that can teach other people about Jesus are the people who know him. So understand, you are the light of the world. Without you, the world is dark. Do we understand that? And are we backdropping it with this week? And do you see why I'm kind of, I'm not saying I'm frantic, but I'm saying there's an urgency to it. Because I sit there and I watch my Facebook, and quite literally there are people that think this planet will end. The America will be no more. Nuclear bombs will be, no matter what. And that's all well and good. We think they're kooky tooks, but what about their kids that are seeing this behavior? Do you understand what I'm saying? Their spouses who feel like they're losing their spouse to the kooky tookville. Somebody's got to show them the reality of this world, that Jesus is king and everything's going to be all right, even if it's not the way we want it to be, and even if there's persecution coming and all this. So I'm not saying it's Happyville, but I'm saying that we know who's on the throne, right? We are the light of the world. You are the light of your workplace. And when everybody's scampering around and running around in fear, you stand in a place of peace, because then they will praise your Father in heaven, that there's a way of safety, that there's a way of sanity, that there's another way besides chaos. But they'll only do that if they see it modeled in us. And if we can't do it during the most tumultuous times, what kind of light are we? That's one last thought I had when I was reading this. You're the light of the world. Well, here's the thing. Last night, I wasn't hunting with a spotlight at all, but I don't like walking through the woods, so I actually had my headlight and my spotlight. This one's a little LED. This one's, okay? It's a million candle power. You are the light of the world, but you know what I think? You also get to cooperate and choose which light you're going to be. You can be a little timid light, a little flicker, or in the power of God and in a place of peace, you can be. Which one do we want to be? The big one, probably, right? The one that really shines bright and stands in a place of peace when everything around us is burning. And I want to say, I think that God is telling us that's our jobs this week especially. We shine our lights, guys. The last thing I want to say, and I'm not going to elaborate on this, when it comes to Andy Griffith, when it comes to this time and place, I had a thought yesterday in prayer that actually made me feel better, Marty. I didn't choose to be born February 19th, 1980. I didn't choose that, but somebody did. It wasn't an accident. Yeah, it was, yeah, of course, Donna, absolutely. So in other words, yeah, things are tough, but I have this strange suspicion that God has given me the assignment right where he wants me to be. So he's told me to be a light. He's told me the world is in chaos and not getting any better. But I think he may have just designed me specifically for right now. Isn't that better? So it makes no sense to look back and want to be at Mayberry. I'm not supposed to be there. I'll tell you what village I like the most. I like Bedford Falls. From It's a Wonderful Life. I love Bedford Falls. Bedford Falls is amazing. But AJ, you know, I don't have to like it, but I wasn't born to be in Bedford Falls. I was born to be in Northern New York in 2016. So you know what? When CNN yells, when C-SPAN, or I don't even know these things. I don't have cable. But you know what I'm trying to say. When our coworkers, when the people at the diner, I'm going to realize, wait a minute, I was born for such a time as this. I need to shine my light. The only way I'm going to be able to do that is by staying in a place of Jesus' peace, which he actually gave to me, no matter what's going on around me. And that's how we're going to change the North Country. So be not moved. We're going to sing Never Once, because I'm going to remind you, never once before have we ever walked alone. Right?